But you know what? After a while, they stopped struggling. In fact, I remember with my daughter, there came a point where one time I didn't brush her teeth. She was very upset that I wouldn't brush her teeth. Because I was like, we'll just go to bed tonight. We'll skip it. And she was, we could, you know, it upset her because I'd done it. So I'd forced it until the point where she accepted it. And now I was going to not do it. You know? So, you know, children love things to be, they love order, and they do love discipline. Anyone who knows my children knows they're probably some of the happiest kids you could ever hope to meet. And they're some of the most well-disciplined children you could hope to meet. And I mean well-disciplined in a dual sense. There's a two sides of discipline. One, that training aspect. And the other one is don't provoke them. Because then they're not well disciplined. That's why kids who go to military school, everyone I ever talked to from military school, they learn how to do all kinds of bad things because all the bad behavior cases go there. And the harder you push, the more they learn how to milk the system, how to pull the wool over your eyes and fool you and make you think they're obeying you when they're thumbing their noses at you behind your back. All right? Because that's why some of these guys, they get off, they think they're being disciplined, but they're really just ruining their kids. Because they're overdoing it, and they're not doing it right. And I suppose, you know, this is one of those topics that gets a lot of play in church, or maybe it doesn't, I don't know. I don't listen to much preaching, but whenever I do, it seems like they're always talking about relationships and stuff like that. Maybe this is kind of a taboo topic. I remember there's guys out there who definitely talk about the raising the kids thing. You know, I even read a book at one point. I don't think I go by that book because I disagreed with some things in it. Verse 5, servants, obedient, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You know, some people think, and this is an important issue because it is out there. So, the New Testament and the Bible in general approves of slavery. That's not true. The Bible, it provides things because it is not a system of government, nor does it seek to be, at least the New Testament. Now, as far as, you know, because Paul was living in a civilization where there was slavery and he couldn't do anything about it. But he said clearly, you know, in Christ there's neither free nor slave. In the Old Testament, there are all kinds of laws regarding slavery. And, mostly slavery was people would sell themselves into slavery. And there was, but it was not like we had in America, this permanent system of bondage where it would be generation on generation. You know, it was like ever so many years they had to let them go and return to their families and so on. They couldn't be kept forever. It was more like indentured servitude, really. Now, the civilization of Israel did develop slavery that was against the law. And even in the time of Jeremiah, he talks about, you know, the king proclaimed that they should release all their servants according to the law because they would just keep them. They would, you know, like, you're not supposed to keep them beyond a certain point. Right? And, wow. I just opened my Bible right to a page about slavery. Deuteronomy 23:15. Think about this law. This is the Old Testament, okay? Any of you who think the Bible condones slavery, here's what this says. How about, imagine this is on the books in America during the slave time. Imagine this is the law of the land. What an uproar would have caused among the slaveholders. Deuteronomy 23:15. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you in that place. You know, that's like a runaway slave. You will not return to his master. Everyone involved with the abolitionist movement was following the Bible. In fact, the abolitionist movement was considered a religious extremist movement because there were people who, they were all motivated by the scriptures. So don't give me this nonsense that the Bible approves of slavery. The Bible instructs slaves on how to get along as slaves in the way that it would be pleasing to God and Christ. All right? Because you could win your master. And you could get your freedom that way. I mean, the thing is, you have to follow the Spirit and not the ways of the flesh. Now, the American system of slavery was a terrible evil. Nothing like the Roman system. Or any of the other systems. But the Roman system was terribly cruel. I mean, slaves could be tortured limitlessly. I mean, in America, it was pretty much the same thing. Their property. You know, we like to think of ourselves as more civilized. I doubt it. With fear and, you know, obey them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And he's not saying if you're, you know, you're supposed to be working, you know, this is slavery in the sense that you're working for this guy. So, you've got to do your best for him like you would for Christ. You know, with fear and trembling. Because, you know, it's like I said with the cops in the previous verse. Hey, you know, the wife ought to fear her husband. So the slave ought to fear his master, because if he runs afoul, he could get into big trouble. Not with eye service, you know, ophthalmo, but with singleness, or as men please, but with the as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, eye service is literally when you're giving service with the eye, but not with the heart. You know, it's kind of manifest with that. The idea is that the one who does not sincerely, yes, sir, you know, and kind of just being a man pleaser. I like men pleasers is anthropereskos, whatever.